wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for another wonderful day on this wonderful earth and for the opportunity to gather together today and at this great church that you've provided us. I just ask, Father God, that you continue to bless this church as we celebrate this season of Advent, and the pastors and the pastor staff here, and continue to give them the wisdom they need for leadership. Thank you for this. I just pray that you will prepare our hearts to receive the message that you have for us today, and that you give us the courage we need to take it and share it with others. And thank you for the birth of Jesus Christ. And I just pray that you keep our focus on him this time of year during this busy season. Please lead, guide, and direct us in all we do. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we kick off our Advent season, I told you earlier in the service that Advent means to celebrate the coming or the arrival of someone special. I want you to know this, even as Josh prayed this morning, and as others prayed this morning, and as we sang about, Jesus has already come. That's the reason we celebrate Christmas. But the reason that we have hope is because Jesus is coming again. That's really the key to everything we do, and that's the reason that we celebrate this holiday season. When I think of Advent, and I think of the idea of celebrating someone coming, someone's arrival, as I was thinking this week about where do we see that most in our culture? Because if we're honest, most of us don't live with an excitement and an anticipation that Jesus is coming again. So where do we see that? Where do we celebrate this idea that someone is fixing to show up? I didn't think about it very long until I remember a time in my life when it was very much an anticipation and excitement. I was at First Baptist Church in Altus, Oklahoma. I was about 21, 22 years old. And I had been hanging out down in the fellowship hall for a little while, and then I came up the steps with the preacher. And as we walked into the sanctuary, we opened the doors, and I was good up to that point. Everything was fine. Everything was good. But when we opened the doors of the sanctuary and started in, there was a large group of people gathered there, and I instantly just was a nervous wreck. But he and I came on down and walked down to the front of the church. And we stood there just a little while. Not very long at all. And then they struck up this song. It went like this. Bum, bum, ba-bum. Bum, bum, ba-bum. And at the time that they started that song, everybody in the place stood up. And I remember looking at the doors over here, and I saw somebody come in that was all in white, but I could only see the top of her head. And she walked all the way to the middle aisle, and I was pretty anxious. I was a nervous wreck, but pretty anxious. You see, I think that's what we're talking about when we think in terms of Advent. That we should be excited about the fact that Jesus is coming back. We talk about it so often and we sing about it so often, I think sometimes we miss it. There's five different things that we're going to look at over the next 4.5 weeks as we close in on our Christmas Eve service that will culminate with the white candle that we'll light that night that represents Jesus, that He is the Christ, that He is the Messiah, that He has come and that He is coming back. But today, our focus is hope. What difference would it make in the world if there was no hope? What difference would it make in your world if you had no hope? You see, the fact is, there are some of us that are here this morning that's really the only thing that keeps us going is hope. That's the thing that makes us be able to continue to do the things that we do and continue to work and continue to put one foot in front of the other, to go to sleep tonight and to wake up in the morning. When I think about all for one and one for all, that's a pretty common saying that many of us know and have probably said ourselves at one time or another. I want you to know that this morning, that as we think about all for one and one for all, I want you to notice something that's a little different. Normally, I capitalize all the letters of the title of the sermon. But this morning, I want you to know the capitalization that's significant to us. The all is capitalized, God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, all for one. And one is capitalized Jesus for all. I think that's significant for us. If you have your Bibles this morning and you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be in a couple of different places. We'll be in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 as well. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, it says this, "And who will harm you if you are deeply committed to what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be disturbed, but honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts." Listen to this. "Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring you to God, after being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm." You see, ultimately the thing that gives us all hope, or that should give us all hope, the place where I hang my hope hat, is that no matter how bad of a person I may be, or how bad the things I may do, or how good the things I may do, how many positive things say about me, how many negative things are said about me, the bottom line is I hang my hope hat on the last part, that after being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm, I know that no matter how bad things go here, they can only get better because heaven is in my future. That's my hope, even on those difficult days. That hope for all. The scriptures say, "Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason that for the hope that is in you." I think for us as Christ followers, we should always exemplify that hope. There's several words that I want us to look at in some key scripture passages this morning, and that verse is one of them. When it says always, in the good times and in the bad times, when things are going smooth and when there's not enough money, when you don't know how you're going to get to all the places you need to go, to do all the things you need to do, to meet all the people you need to meet, to pay all the bills you need to pay, the bottom line, it says, always be ready to give a defense. Now, when it says defense, the word there originally in the Greek means apologetics. That's a defense of the gospel. Always be prepared to stand up and defend Jesus Christ. Always be prepared to stand up and to exemplify the things that are in the scriptures, the examples that it gives us as to how we should speak and how we should live and how we should behave and how we should work and how we should relate to our neighbors and all of the things that go along with it. But it says, always give a defense to anyone who asks. Psalms chapter 31 verse 24 says, "Be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. I think for us, no matter who it is that asks, to be able to have that hope, to be courageous and to be strong. It says, always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason. Now, I got to tell you, it's important when you think about the reason for the hope you have. It says the reason for the hope you have. That means this, the reason needs to be firsthand, not secondhand. You see, I can tell you the difference that Jesus makes in my life. And ultimately, that's the place where I'm going to stand. Now, I see sometimes the difference that Jesus makes in your lives. You tell me the difference that Jesus makes in your lives. But for all of us, the reason needs to be firsthand. Now, I can tell them about what God's doing in Brent's life, or I can tell them about what God's doing in John's life, or I can tell them about what God's doing in Asa's life, but ultimately what makes the difference is when I can tell them about what difference Jesus is making in my life. That's the real reason that I have hope. Not because of what God does in Brent's life, or because of what God does in John's life, or because of what God does in Asa's life. The reason that I have hope is because I see what God does in my life. It's firsthand. But then that hope is so critical. Romans 15 verse 4 says, for whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement from the Scriptures. You see, our hope comes from the fact that we're steadfast. Our hope comes from the idea that we're consistent, that we live out the principles on a daily basis. Because as we live out those principles on a daily basis, then it becomes evident and visible to us ourselves of the difference that God's making in our lives, and that hope just continually compounds. But it does say in you, how do people know that you have a hope? How do people know that inside of you there is a hope that things are going to get better? It's because you live it out. You see, the hope inside us, we only know about. But when we live that hope out, other people see it. It becomes evident. It becomes obvious to them. A.W. Tozier said, hope is a word which is taken on a new and deeper meaning for us because the Savior took it into His mouth, because Jesus spoke of hope. Loving Him and obeying Him, we suddenly discover that hope is really the direction taken by the whole Bible. Hope is the music of the whole Bible. The heartbeat, the pulse, and the atmosphere of the whole Bible. When you think about it, this entire book, other than the first couple of chapters where there was no sin, from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation chapter 22, this entire book is written that there's a hope for us to continue to fight the fight, to continue to battle the battle, to continue to put one step in front of the other. It's hope from cover to cover. William Barclay said this when we think about hope that's in us. William Barclay said, a saint is someone whose life makes it easier to believe in God. You see, the fact is we're all sinners. But I believe we can all be saints if we'll live out that hope in front of others. When I think about that hope for all there in 1 Peter chapter 3, I think we see two quick examples of hope that we see in other places in the Scriptures. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. When we think the hope for one in 1 Peter, and then or the hope for all, and then the hope for one in Luke and in Matthew. We'll be in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. Now let me ask you a question. Has anybody or has God ever asked you to do anything that you would think crazy? Has God ever asked you to do something that when you felt like God spoke to you and said, this is what I want you to do, here's where I want you to live, this is who I want you to talk to, this is what I want you to give up, this is what I want you to sell and give the money to me so that I can magnify it and use it all over the globe to make my name known. Has God ever asked you to do anything that you thought was crazy? I think we see a couple examples of that in the Scriptures. The first one is in Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18, it says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after Joseph had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now stop and think about this a second. Joseph is engaged to Mary. Mary becomes pregnant. And Joseph decides, being a righteous man, he did not want to be married to Mary. But then an angel appears to him and said, Joseph, this is a special circumstance. And I want you to know that she's pregnant with the child of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to marry her anyway. Now you stop and think about that a second. We all know the story. We've heard it 100 times. You stop and think about Joseph for just a second. How crazy do you think Joseph thought that idea was? For everything he understood about procreation, and his fiancée comes up pregnant, and not only does God say, I want you to still marry her, but I want you to know that the son she carries is my son. But you marry her anyways. When I think about that with him, it's interesting in verse 19, it says, being a righteous man. I think the idea behind that, not that he was perfect. Joseph was a guy like us, a sinner too. But he was seeking after God and seeking to be who God wanted him to be. And then in verse 23, it says that you will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the reason there's hope for us, is because God is with us. He sent Jesus to be with us. But then in verse 20, there's also an interesting statement made that says, don't be afraid. It's interesting. The first thing the angel of the Lord says to him is, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I think a lot of times when God asks us to do crazy things, our first response is fear. Now, after fear, we start giving all the reasons that it doesn't make sense or why it won't work. But we all have a natural first response emotion when God asks us to do something crazy, and it's fear. And the angel of the Lord says to Joseph first, don't be afraid. Listen to this verse out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You'll know this verse. It says, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. We all know that voice, or that verse. We all know that verse out of Isaiah. When Isaiah is prophesying about the Messiah and who the Messiah will be and what we will know about the Messiah. And he says that his name, that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. I want you to think about those four names in terms of fear. Wonderful Counselor. When you're afraid, it's pretty nice to have somebody who can counsel you and point you in the right direction and encourage you. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. I got to tell you, for me, I've told you before, I don't like the dark. But when I go out to go hunting, it's always dark when you arrive. I do not like the walk from the pickup or from the car to the pond, or from the car to the blind. I don't like it. But it makes all the difference in the world if I just have somebody else with me, especially if they're slower than I am. But when you think of fear and you think of Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, to have someone else that's with you, Eternal Father, that he's always, always, always there. and then Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but when I'm afraid, the thing that I can use most is peace. Just give me peace. If I got peace, even though I'm afraid, if I got peace, I can continue to move forward. Isn't it interesting that the angel of the Lord says to him, don't be afraid, and yet Isaiah had prophesied hundreds of years prior that he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's if you've ever been asked by God to do something crazy. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation where you really, really, really needed God's intervention? I mean, have you ever been in a place that you kind of sat back and went, God, if you don't straighten this out, I'm in trouble. God, if you don't put your hand on this and smooth it over, solve it, fix it somehow, I got a major problem. I think we see a great example of that in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it's one that most of us are familiar with. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to be to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said to her, rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary asked the angel, how can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man? And the angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One, capital O, to be born will be called the Son of God. There's a couple of really interesting words or phrases in that story that often we don't think about. The first one is in verse 29 when it says that she was deeply troubled. Some of yours may say confused. Some of them may say perplexed. But the bottom line is, she knew that she had a problem on her hands. You got to think back to first century. When a lady was single and ended up pregnant, it wasn't like in the present. In the first century, when a lady wasn't married and she ended up pregnant, she's got some really tough days in front of her. The possibility is that she might be stoned. She might be killed over it. You see, I think it makes sense that she was deeply troubled. It's interesting, the first thing that Mary says, after the angel tells her all the things that he tells her, that this will be God's son. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Messiah that you have been reading about and hearing about all of your life, that's the one. And yet Mary asks the question, what? How can this be that I'm pregnant? How can that be? You see, I think one of the things that would do well for us when it comes to fear and when it comes to confusion and when it comes to deeply troubled, most of the time, we get fixed on one ology, like biology. I think that's what Mary was hooked on. I know you're telling me about this being the Messiah and all of those things, but I'm really concerned with the biology part. How can this be? But I think quickly Mary got fixed over from biology to theology. And I think for us, if you are one this morning that says, hey, I'm in a place right now, I'm in trouble, I need God to intervene, I would say to you, what ology are you thinking? I would encourage you to think theology, the study of God. Think about the promises that God has given us, that God has given you in the Scriptures. I will be with you always. Think about the names that God has been given. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's interesting that that's her only question, but it gives you an idea that she really realized the issue. The Scriptures say the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I understand that it's a different way that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, but I would also say to you, whatever situation you're in, your hope is the fact that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and guide you through that. But you must seek the Holy Spirit. You must ask the Holy Spirit to give you guidance. But the Scriptures say when you do, the Holy Spirit will overshadow. The Holy Spirit will guide. The Holy Spirit will protect. The Holy Spirit will shelter you. I didn't read the last three verses of that particular section of the Scriptures, but look at verse 36 and 37. It says, "And consider your relative Elizabeth." By the way, that was her cousin who was pregnant with a son that was John the Baptist. That Elizabeth. It says, "And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." I think it's interesting when you look at the words and you think through each individual word in verse 36 at the things that the Holy Spirit says that God speaks to Mary when he says, "And consider your relative Elizabeth, even she." Now, why would he say even? I think because Elizabeth was too old to have children. And what God is saying to Mary is even she, at her age, she has to have faith as well. But I'm Mighty God. For old ladies to be pregnant, or for virgins to be pregnant, let me ask you, which is the biggest miracle? Which is the hardest for God? You would say, as Shannon is over here, like, neither. They're neither hard for God. Can I tell you something? What's more difficult for God? For a virgin to be pregnant? For an old lady to be pregnant? Or whatever it is that you're in the midst of? I don't know what you're in the midst of. I know I got some problems in my own life going on right now. But I'm going to tell you, none of them are as what we would think impossible as an old lady who's pregnant or a virgin who's pregnant. You see, all of our problems are less than those. And by the way, when he's Mighty God, you need to know this. Nothing is too difficult for him. It doesn't matter what your situation is, just trust him with it. I think it's interesting that it says, in this the sixth month. Now, I assume it's still this way. It may not be, but I know for us, when Christy and I were young married, and she got pregnant with Jance, and then a couple years later, she got pregnant with Will, I know that the doctors and people told us, hey, don't tell anybody until you are at what time? 3 months. That's what they told us. Hey, don't tell anybody until she's 3 months along. Just to make sure everything's okay. I think it's interesting that it says to Mary, six. You see, God just covers everything. And not only does he cover it what is sufficient, but he covers it over and above. It's what the Scriptures tell us in Ephesians. He can do above and beyond all you can think or imagine. I would tell you, no matter what your situation is this morning, trust in the Lord, because verse 37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. It may be impossible for you to work your way out of it. And it may be impossible for me to work my way out of it. But it is possible for both of us to work our way through whatever the storm is in our life if we'll do it with God. So if you can't seem to get through that storm, and you don't have peace, the thing that I would say to you is, are you doing it by yourself? Or are you doing it with God? All for one, one for all. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is for us. But Jesus is for you. Don't miss that. We used to sing a song, "You are my strength when I am weak. You are the pleasure that I seek. You are my all in all." What our world needs this holiday season is hope. What you need this Advent season is hope. I want you to know, hope is not a thing. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. That's the reason we celebrate. Jesus has come, and Jesus is coming again. Will you trust your theology in your situation during the Advent season? Let's pray.